What up, guys? We are back for the second half of today's podcast. We're going to be breaking down, previewing UFC 301, Pantoja versus Usyk. I am your host, as always, Adam Martin. That's Big Marcel. This is the MMA OB Daily podcast. And I'm looking forward to previewing the latest UFC pay-per-view. It's kind of crazy. Like, UFC 300 was just a couple weeks ago. Are we ever at another pay-per-view already? Kind of nuts, right? UFC's really trying to milk the fans rate for money.
Another week off as well, so maybe that's why.
That's true. It kind of goes and comes and goes those weeks off. What do you think about this card? I'll just ask you that right off the bat. What do you think about this card, man? Because
I mean,
I kind of feel like it was put together really fast. What do you think?
I agree, but you got to take in mind it's mostly for the Brazilian viewer. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think it's okay. I don't think it's like a next level pay-per-view or whatever what we had for 300, 299, or 298. You know what I mean? It's kind of in between a 298 and 297 pay-per-view. I mean, you guys really got a rough one, you know, but in between that, you know, it's okay. There are some fun fights on it. I think there's a really fun matchup with Mikti Beck Earl Bay against Alves.
Yeah, Brown, I was going to say that one. That's the best fight in the card, I think, honestly. It might be. I mean, I think the co-main event's good too.
Yeah.
You know what this reminds me of, to be honest with you? It's like those old, the Brazil cards they used to do like 10 years ago where it was all mismatches. That's kind of what I thought. Because you have like, the most of these guys are minus 500. I mean, if you look at this card. All right, let's get the comments here. We got Glenn in the chat. He's talking about the tickets. Jesus. I mean, I would go for $12. How could you not go? How could you not go? You know? Yeah, the economy there is not great. I mean, I would definitely go though, man. I would definitely go for $12. John, what's up, man? Yeah, here's the thing, John. It's a pay-per-view month, but now they're going to do two in June. That's why this has happened. So you have one in early June and then late June, right, Marcel? You have the Islam card and then the Conor card. So
yeah,
that's what happened. They're going to do 13 pay-per-views this year, I think, right? 13. So
there, I think the last one is in December. That's 310.
So 14, actually. 14. Well, there you go. They're making a lot of money. All right, Knox, what's up, man? Glad to have you here. What's up, Antoine? 14 fights, yes, sir. Oddsbook, what's up, man? Yeah, we'll go through the card now. All right, let's say you just get into it, Marcel. Again, we start from the bottom, work our way up. We use MMA or UFCstats.com. We'll start with the first fight on the card. We have the flyweights at it when Alessandro Costa takes on Kevin Borjas. And the odds for this one, Marcel, have Costa minus 142 favorite, Borjas plus 120. What's your thoughts on this fight?
Yeah, man, fun fight, flyweight fight, right? Alessandro Costa, teammate, training partner of Diego Lopez. Lost his last fight against Steve Urzak, who is actually funny. He's opening the card and Urzak is closing the card as a title shot, right? Before that, got a good win over Jimmy Flick. And I think he looked decent against Albasi before he got finished in the third round. I think he's a pretty good fighter. He's fighting Kevin Borjas. If you look at Borjas, got a good win over Victor Diaz in the contender series. I think that was the first fight of the season, and he was a pretty big underdog in that fight. His fight against Joshua Van, he started really well, man, in the first round. You know, he looked really good, but Van took over and he won the second and third round. I think it will be a fun fight, but I'm thinking I'm picking Costa here, man. I like Costa a lot. I think Borges is a good talent, you know, but I feel like Costa will win this fight. It's more experience, in my opinion. I go with the decision win for Alessandro Costa here.
Yeah, I have the same pick as you. That's my pick, too. I know he's, 1-2 in the UFC, but like the two losses are to elite guys. You know, they're top five guys, top 10 guys. Just destroy Jimmy Flick in the other fight. I think he's a good striker, pretty good grappler, too. Borjas, I mean, listen, he's a good striker, man, and he did show some really good defensive grappling against Diaz. I wouldn't completely count him out here by any means. He's definitely good. He started off fast against Van too, though, but the thing is he got really tired as the fight went on, and I don't think you want to do that against Costa. I could see Borjas winning the first round and then Costa kind of taking over as the fight goes on. I'm with you, though. I think you keyed on to something in the experience. He's fought better competition, Costa. He's fought more times, and he's fighting in Brazil, so I think all those things should help him here. And I think you'll win the decision as well. So there you go. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got Ismael Bonfim taking on Vince Pichel. And the odds for this one have Bonfim minus 470, Pichel plus 360. Pichel's last fight got canceled, right? It was against Bonfim, right? Yeah, and they just rebooked it.
Yeah, Bonfim was too heavy. Three and a half pounds too heavy.
I don't blame him for turning it down, but they just went and rebooked it again. Listen, like, I like Vince,
Me too.
I think this might be the last time he fights in the UFC. I think he loses, man. I think he's going to get probably finished in this fight. I know he's super tough. I understand that. He's a veteran. He's been around for over 10 years. I respect him a lot. But Bonfim's a finisher, and I think he's going to come in to finish this fight. But I will say this, you know, if he doesn't finish in that first, second round, he might gas out. So, again, minus 470, the kind of heavy odds. He should win the fight. He's the younger guy. He's more explosive. He's better finisher. But, man, Pichel could grind it out late. I don't know. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I think it will be an interesting fight, you know. I think but like you said, if it goes to a decision, Pichel might edge out the third round. But I think Bonfim will do enough to win the first two.
Okay.
So
there you go.
But I actually think that he can finish him as well. So I feel like it's like if I would bet on this fight, I would probably go for a finish for Bonfim in this one, or I would go with a decision for Pichel here, you know, because I think Pichel can win a decision, but I'm going with a finish for Bonfim. I think he finishes him in the second round, probably by submission, I go for.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of submission too. By the way, Pato says we need Pichel Swanson.
Yeah, they look like each other.
Yeah, they do. I was going to say, though, it's funny because Swanson's finally fighting Feely, and like I felt like that's a fight that could have happened years ago, and now they're fighting, so we'll see what happens there. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got the women's flyweight, Dion Barboza, takes on Ernesta Caracati, I think. Is that how you pronounce it?
Caracqueta.
Caracqueta. This is a tough one to pronounce, man. Barboza's favored, as you'd expect. Minus 218. Caracqueta. Is that how you say it? Plus 180.
That's what I heard. Caracqueta. So
I think it might be. I think it is. But Barboza's favored here. And you know, Marcel, I think we were talking about her before she came to the UFC. Like, I know you were pretty high in her, right? Her grappling is... it's very high level. I mean, yeah. I think that goes without saying. She's definitely a quality grappler. Caracqueta, I don't know. I mean, she's 5-0-1. Mm-hmm. She had this fight in Contender where it was kind of a slugfest. These two girls were just punching each other in the face for 50 minutes. And Dana White like got really excited and signed them both, I think, right? But yeah. I don't know. I feel like she's still super green, dude. Still super green. I get it. The other girl doesn't have a lot of MMA fights either, but she has so much grappling experience. This girl's a kickboxer. It's a striker grappler fight. I'm always going to take the grappler in that situation, dude, especially when they're this green in MMA. Give me Barboza. I think she submits her. What do you think?
Yeah, same thing, man. I really like Dione Barboza. I think she got in short notice against Ryan Guerrero, right, in the Contender Series. She submitted her in the first round. Caracqueta, she fought the Carly Judas girl. Split decision win. Was a close fight. Yeah, like you said, striker versus grappler. I also take the grappler here. I think Dione Barboza. I think she also trained with Chris Cyborg before. You know, I don't know if she still does, but yeah, for me also Dione Barboza. I think she wins by submission.
Let's get some comments here. You like Dion, she's definitely good. She is good. Marcus, what's up, man? Glad to see you recap. No, I appreciate that, man. Thanks for listening, dude. We really appreciate it, my friend. All right, we'll go to the next fight here, Marcel. We have the lightweights when Mauricio Rufi takes on Jamie Mullarkey. And the odds for this one have Mauricio minus 166, Mullarkey plus 140. I'll start on this one. Dude, I'm fading Jamie Mullarkey any chance you can get. And I think the odds on the other guy are just really low for some reason. Like, I thought he would be a much bigger favorite. He looked fucking great in a Contender Series, dude. He destroyed that guy, Raymond Magomedlaev. Destroyed him. Like, that was one of the most brutal stoppages in the third round. It was so nasty. The guy is definitely a dangerous dude, and he's taking on Mullarkey. He's super chinny, super, super chinny. I can't pick Mullarkey. I know he's got more experience in the UFC, more experience overall, but I don't care. I'm not picking him. And again, Marcel, these fighting nerds guys are really good at fighting. You know, they might be nerds, but fuck, they can fight. Dude, I mean, all of his wins are basically by knockout. And again, he finished this dude with 15 seconds left in his last fight. He's got good cardio too, as we saw. So Mullarkey coming off knockout losses last fight, I think gets knocked out again. I really like Rufi here. Minus 166, wow. I think it should be much higher. I think he wins for sure. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's because Rufi didn't look really great in the first round against Magomedalyev, if I can remember. You know, he came back in that fight pretty much, you know, and he got the finish. But yeah, he has quality. You know, you got a lot of these, like you say, fighting those. You got Carlos Prades, you got Caio Borraio. Shaw Silva was also on this card later.
Yeah.
good fighters there, you know. Good camp. I like Rufy here as well. Malarkey can win this fight by being fucking boring and holding him down, you know. But can he hold him down? That's the question. I don't know. I'm also going with Rufy here. I think Rufy wins. I think he does it by finish. I'm going with Rufy by ground and pound TKO in the second round.
Yeah, I like that too. So check the prop for the knockout because I think that's a good one. Yeah, Rufy did open as the dog, which they obviously blew that line. He shouldn't have been the dog. All right, we'll go to the next one here. We got Joaquin Silva, Neto BJJ taking on Dracar Close. I thought Close would get a bigger opportunity just because
he deserved that.
Coming off a slam knockout, they gave Cody Brundage the opening fight on UFC 300 and they gave this guy a prelim on UFC 301. It's very weird to me. Anyways, Dracar is the favorite here, as you'd expect. Minus 185, Silva plus 154. I'll start on this one too. These guys have both been in the UFC forever. Dude, you have to go to Dracar Close here. You have to. I mean, this guy is just a really good fighter. He's fought quality competition his entire UFC career. He's been a good fighter for a long time. He's got really good wrestling. He's got some power in his hands. He's a guy who's constantly improving. And then you got Silva. I know he's gotten better. I agree with that. But a guy who's still very chinny. He's been knocked out a bunch of times in the UFC. And the guy, you know, we call him Neto BJJ, but he doesn't have any submissions in the UFC. So, like, I don't understand the nickname at all. He doesn't use his grappling really whatsoever. I know, I guess Clay Guida, he did a little bit, but in one of the fight, a close fight against the corpse of Clay Guida. Dude, he struggled with Clay Guida. I mean, that was a close fight against the guy who's like 40-something. Dracar Close is in his prime. He's ready to go. I think Dracar wins this fight. Probably decision, but I could also see him knocking out Joaquin. Again, I thought the odds would be higher on Dracar Close. Minus 185 seems a little low to me. I have him like a minus 250 favorite here. What do you think?
Yeah, man. Did you also hear with, I think it was an interview with James Lynch, that Dracar said that Courtney Casey almost passed away during her labor. Man, that's crazy, man. Yeah, Dracar Close is also a typical fighter, was really underrated in the UFC, only has two losses on his record against Benil Dariush, who was like, he was a tiny inch away from finishing Dariush, and Dariush took the reverse card on him and knocked him out. And he got one, pretty much one clear loss against David Taymor, I think. Close is kind of the guy who was like super tough to fight all the time, you know. And for me, Joaquin Silva is way too inconsistent. I like him. Many people will say, yeah, but he staggered Arman Tsarukyan. Yeah, but he still lost the fight. I'm also on Close here, man. I honestly think Close can win the. What the hell happened again?
It's okay. You're still... good. Yep.
Do you hear me? Oh, so yep. Close won the fight. I think Close will win the fight. I'm going with the finish as well. TKO second round.
There you go. All right. Yeah, Dracar's got to get a win here, and I think he will. Yeah, that should be good if you watch it, Marcus. You're back, Marcel. It's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell, dude.
You're good. Don't worry. You're freaking out for no reason. Don't worry. All right.
We'll what the hell, dude?
We got Gene Silva taking on William Gomi in the UFC featherweight division. This is the guy that does the bark thing that Marcel hits the button on. So, yeah. I mean, let's get the odds on for this one, man. It's an interesting fight. We have the odds for this one. Gene Silva minus 142. William Gomis plus 120. I'll let you start. Who are you picking?
Yeah, so let's first talk about William Gomis, right? 3-0 in the UFC, wins over Jarno Ahrens, Francis Marshall, and Giannis Gimuri. And all three fights weren't really convincing, to be really honest. You know, the Jarno Ahrens fight, what he did well, almost got finished in the third round, but he won that fight. Yes, the Marshall fight was pretty close. He won a split decision. And then Gimuri fight, I don't know, man, if that was a legit finish still. You know, the referee gave it a TKO, but I felt like Gimuri really got hit low. So if you look at Jan Silva, got a great win over Contender Series, was a decision, but was a great win, I remember. And he knocked out Weston Wilson, but I don't know how much stock I can put into that. You would say Willem Gomes has a good chance to win here, but it's in Brazil, I think, will be a close fight. I'm going with Jan Silva by split decision in this one.
Honestly, I really want to hit the button on this one because, you know, Silva, listen, he's definitely looked good. But again, I'm looking at the physical stats and Gomis is like way taller and longer. I mean, and he's a southpaw too. So the physical stats all go in his favor. But I think for me, it's like it's in Brazil too. And I feel like they're going to be biased against him. You know, I think it's going to be a competitive fight. And despite, you know, being the smaller, you know, shorter guy, I still think he can win this fight. So. It's not a fight I'm convinced about. I wouldn't bet on this fight. You know, if you want to bet on Gomis, I understand that. I think he's a dog that's live for sure.
I agree.
But I'm gonna take Silva here. I really wanted to hit the button on him, man. But I, you know, they both have so much momentum coming here. But you know, Silva again fighting in Brazil, I think that gives him a slight edge, and I think he's gonna win the fight. You thinking decision? Or is that what you're thinking for him?
Yeah, split decision.
Yeah. You call that? Yeah, that's. I think that's kind of the way to go. Because Gomez is gonna be hard to knock out. So. But I also feel like Gomez isn't a live dog. I don't blame you at all for picking him. The problem I have with Gomez is, like, again, you know, I'm looking at the stats and, you know, he's just so inactive, guys. Like, he only lands 2.5 strikes a minute. Like, it's not enough. You know, I think it's going to – the volume's going to be a problem for him here, and the judges will go with Silva. But, again, you know, I think Gomez is definitely a live dog. I have to make a pick. It's going to be Silva, but I'm not super confident in that one. All right, here we go. We got a great fight here, guys. And I think this might be the best fight in the card, to be honest with you. I think this fight should be higher in the card. I understand why it's low, because these guys aren't household names. But Elvis Brenner takes on Miktibek Orobai. And I love this fight, man, in the lightweight division. Orobai is the favorite here, Marcel. He is -258, Brenner +210. I love the fight. Both guys have really looked good in the UFC. Obviously, Orobai just had the one fight against Medic, but that win is aging really well. Medic is a good fighter. He submitted him, looked amazing, took him down 7 times. And Brenner, I mean, 3 straight wins by upset, right? I think it's 3 straight wins to Hugov. Then Kutadalaze knocked him out. And then the last guy, Konyan Krzyzewski, that was a nice win too. And the thing is, he's one of those guys that trains with Oliveira, right? So you think, okay, he's got really good grappling. And he probably does, but he's using his striking, dude. And his striking looks really fucking good. And he's got good cardio. He's got a lot of heart. I don't want to count him out here. I have to pick Orobai. I have to pick him because the guy's nothing but impressive, and I think he's going to be the better grappler and take him down and hold him. But, dude, I don't want to count Brenner out, man. I really like Elvis Brenner. I think he can, you know, show up too. So, again, not a confident pick, but I'll take Orobai. It's just not a confident one for me. What do you think?
I mean, Orobai was in trouble against Medic with striking, but the thing was, like, super short notice. So what can we take off from that? You know, it's really hard to say. I'm also an Orobai in this one. You know, but man, it's like you said, it's far from a sure pick, because I think both guys have a lot to bring to the table, and if Brenner can hit him good, you know, he can put him away as well. So
yeah,
I'm on a roll by here, but I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Brenner's definitely a good fighter, and man, if he wins this fight, they're gonna have to give him a ranked opponent, I think. Do you think UFC would sign Khalid Satov? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he's the only guy who beat Orobai. I think he's 12-0 or something. But he's a good fighter. You know, I think but he's almost touching 30, so it has to happen now. But he has some good wins on his record, man. I also remember in ACA he beat Herbert Batista. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe, you know.
We got Jamie in the chat. He says, "Hey guys, how's it going? Glad to have you here, Jamie." He's looking forward to seeing Aldo fight. That should be fun. Yeah, Rubeski Pereira should be in this card. All right, let's go to the next fight here, guys. We have Karolina Kovalkiewicz taking on Yasmin Lucindo. Yasmin's the big favorite, -360. Kovalkiewicz +285. I'm taking Yasmin, but I think the odds are pretty, like, excessive here, man. You know, this should be a pretty competitive fight. You know, Karolina's looked really good lately. She's got some nice wins lately. I know it's fighting, you know, lower-ranked girls. I get that, but she's looked good. It's just that Yasmin's so young and she's constantly improving. There's a 17-year age gap here. You know, I can't ignore that. You know, I have to take Lucindo. I just think the odds are a little excessive. -360 for a girl with 3 fights in the UFC. I don't know about that. She should win, though. I think she'll win the decision, but I don't know, man. The odds seem really high. What do you think?
You know, I like Karolina, but I think she gets absolutely destroyed in this fight.
Do you? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I think Karolina has looked good as of lately, but it's against lower level competition, you know? And I think Lucinda was really, like, only getting better every time I see her fight. You know what I mean? And she's super strong. Her ground game is super solid. I think her striking is good to watch. Man, I think, honestly, Lucinda should have been a bigger favorite, to be honest. So I'm completely opposite on you on this one. But I'm also picking Lucinda. I also think she can finish this Karolina. I wouldn't be surprised, you know.
There you go. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got the last prelim here. Jack Shore traveling to Brazil to take on Drew Anderson Brito. And Brito is the favorite. -166, Shore +140. I'm taking Brito, Marcel. Have to pick him here. Jack Shore is definitely a solid fighter, but I think Brito is, like, really, really good. And, you know, other than that loss to Aljo, which, you know, was a competitive fight, he's improved since then, though. He's 4 straight wins. He's finishing guys. He has knockout power. He has submission ability. He can go 50 minutes. And I'll tell you right now, that win over Diego Lopez is aging really well. It's aging really well. I know there was like an eye poke at the end of the fight early. Still aging well. And the wins in the UFC are solid. Andre Fili, Jonathan Pierce. I mean, those are good fucking wins. Lucas Alexander guy's a good win. Weston Wilson, whatever. That was short notice and he had to just fight someone. But the other ones are solid. Jack Shore, you know, definitely a solid guy too, you know, overall. Good grappling. You got that. But I think against Ricky Simon, it kind of showed where he's kind of capped at where he can go in the sport. Kind of, I don't know. I also look at Jack Shore, and all his wins are against guys that are not in the UFC anymore, whereas Brito's beating guys that are still on the roster. So, like, all of Brito's wins are against guys on the roster still. Brito's really good. I think he can finish Jack Shore, dude. I'll tell you that right now, man. I think he can finish him. I think he can drop him and submit him just like Ricky Simon did. So, I'll take Joanderson Brito. I'll take him by submission. What do you think, man?
I like Joe Anderson, but I'm still on the fence with him, you know. I mean, you say like Diego Lopez, yes, but also take in mind Diego took that on 4 days or 5 days notice, the fight, and Dana White contenders. But before that, he has a good win as well over Shepard Mariscal, you know. So, so cannot say anything. Got to say, in the Pierce fight, man, he didn't look good last time. He got the finish by Ninja Choke lately because Pierce fell over. Like, man, well, we saw that earlier, like, you know, yesterday. But, I mean, he got the win there, so that was good. Jack Shore, I mean, he was doing very well, and then he met the Ricky Simon. I also thought against Valiev, it was kind of 50-50, man, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But, we'll see, man. I think Joe Anderson Brito wins, man.
There you go. We have the same pick there. All right, let's go to the next fight here. We got the opening main card bout. Paul Craig taking on Kyle Bahio. Kyle is a huge favorite here. Minus 485. Paul Craig plus 370. So Bahio is one of the biggest favorites in the card, and I absolutely think he wins this fight. This is a showcase fight for him, man. Listen, Paul Craig is a guy you can't completely count out because the submission ability is amazing. The ground game is incredible, but this is a horrible matchup for him. I think it's just the worst matchup you can have in the division, honestly. Bahio should be the far more effective grappler from top position. He has unlimited cardio. This guy doesn't get tired. He's a guy who's constantly improving. Not only do I think he wins, I think he finishes the fight. So I think that's the way to go for this one, is to look for a prop on Bahio by finish. I think he actually could submit Paul Craig, which is crazy because Craig is the guy who submits everyone else, but I think Bahio can actually do that here. So I'm going to Bahio by submission, Marcel. That's my pick. I feel really good about him here. I think he wins for sure. What do you think?
100%, and I'm also on Bahio here. I think Bahio will be a very, very dominant, actually, by the grappling, you know, and I think he submits Craig as well. I know Craig has that submission win, those submission wins, you know, where he can submit somebody from out of nowhere, but I think Bahio has a better game there, so I'm going with Bahio.
Yeah, I'm with you completely on this one. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got Michelle Pereira taking on Ihor Pereira. And odds for this one, another huge favorite here. Michelle Pineda, minus 440. Ihor Pateria, plus 340. I'm taking Michelle all the way. And once again, I think this is a showcase fight. I think he finishes the fight. I'll take Michelle Pereira by first-round knockout. I think he's on a roll. He's looked great at middleweight, and I think he destroys Ihor Pateria here. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel the same way as well here, you know. I mean, Pateria, I have nothing against the guy. He looked pretty good against Robert Brzezinski, you know, but I think Pereira is a step up, clearly, you know. And Pereira has looked good so far at 185, and I think he gets another TKO win here.
There we go. Same pick on that one. All right. Those went by quick, but we'll go to the next fight here. All right. I'm going to get your thoughts on this fight. We have Anthony Smith, the real Anthony Smith, not Bogdan Guskov, the real
Anthony
one.
Anthony Smith.
Funny how they fight back-to-back weeks, eh? On Vitor Petrino. And the odds for this one are very high. Vitor Petrino is the biggest favorite in the card, minus 520. Anthony Smith, plus 390. My pick. What do you think, man?
So I think Anthony Smith gets always underestimated, man, to be really honest. You know, the thing is just like, I think he's not that guy anymore who's like, he's not a top guy anymore. He's still pretty decent, don't get me wrong. But the thing is, like, Petrino is going up and Smith is pretty much going down, you know, so they meet in the middle right now. Petrino, he didn't look great against Pedro, but he got the job done, you know. And yep. I think he might do the same approach with Smith here, you know. I also, as a three-rounder, I also think he gets the job done. So I'm with Petrino in this one. I think Petrino wins, but I don't think it will be a very, entertaining fight, to be honest.
I think the odds are way too high here, guys. Like, this is kind of crazy to me. I mean, all of a sudden, like, I want to say he's a much bigger favorite here against Anthony Smith than he was against Tyson Pedro. That doesn't make sense to me. And he didn't really look that great in that fight, you know? I think the guy's really good. I mean, he's definitely, like, well-rounded. He that's what I like about him, is that he can knock you out and also submit you and grapple you. That's what I like about him. And that's why, ultimately, I will pick him to win this fight. But I think it's going to be competitive, man. And the odds are way too high. You know, I don't blame anyone who want to take a shot at Anthony Smith at plus 400. Basically, that's what he is now. Way more experience in the UFC. He has, you know, a ton of fights, and he can knock you out and submit you, too. It's just, again, like you said, he's kind of on the decline. That's why I'm picking against him. I can't pick a guy that, you know, is coming off that horrible knockout loss to Khalil Roundtree, too, which also worries me, right? So his chin is going now. I'm just saying, man, like, Anthony Smith gets counted out so much, Marcel. Mm-hmm. And he's won a lot of fights in his career as an underdog.
That's true.
Or lost. That's true. You know, Gustafson. You know, even the Ryan Spann fight, the last one. He was an underdog in that fight and the first time they fought, I think. So he's a guy that's constantly counted out. He's a guy that is pulling off tons of upsets, and I wouldn't completely put it past him here. You know, he's still a student of the game, dude. He's still working for the UFC, doing all that stuff, and still trains at elevation. I don't know. Like, I almost want to take a shot at Smith here. I just can't do it, man, because the age, the durability concerns. But I think the odds are insane. I think the odds are insane. I don't know. I think minus 520. Why is this guy the biggest favorite in the card? That, to me, doesn't make sense. I think the biggest favorite in the card should be probably Michel Pereira or Caio Barbalho, the last two guys. I don't think it should be Vitor Pacino. I think Vitor should be like a minus, you know, 250 favorite to a plus 200 on Smith. So there's probably a little bit of dog value on Smith. I don't think I can touch it, though. I'll just stay away from it. I'll take Pacino, but I'll take him to win a hard-fought decision where he uses his wrestling to win a close decision. These odds are really, really disrespectful towards Anthony Smith, in my opinion, man. I don't know. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. This is one of the best fights in the card, obviously. We got Jonathan Martinez, the Dragon, taking on Jose, the King of Rio Aldo, making his return to the UFC. Jonathan Martinez, minus 135. Jose Aldo, plus 114. I'll start on this one. I'm going with my boy, the Dragon. I have to take him here, Marcel. You know, obviously, Aldo is a legend. He's one of the greatest fighters of all time. He's a UFC Hall of Famer. He's a legend in every possible way. But he's also 37 years old, and Jonathan Martinez, 30 years old. Jonathan Martinez is a guy that constantly is improving. He's always getting better. He's won six straight fights, tons of momentum coming in here. He's destroying guys in the cage. And not only that, but if you look in his UFC record, I mean, the Andre Ewell fight, man, he should have won that fight. In the Davey Grant fight, yeah, he got knocked out, but he also dropped Grant early and kind of got, you know, tired and ended up losing. And I was always a worry in the back of my mind that that could happen again. I just don't know if it's going to happen here against Aldo, who's really, you know, to me, past his prime. I watched his fights in boxing. He didn't look that great, in my opinion. I watched the Jeremy Stephens fight last year. It was a draw against Jeremy Stephens, like the ghost of Jeremy Stephens. To me, this is going to be another grappling match. This is going to be a striking – sorry, not a grappling match. It's going to be another striking battle. And I just think Martinez is going to be the more effective striker. He's going to be the harder hitter at this point in his career. And I think he wins the decision. It's going to be a hard-fought fight. But at minus 135, I'm taking Jonathan Martinez. I have to take him. Always liked this guy for a long time, and I'm taking him to win here, man. It's going to be the biggest win of his career. I think he outstrikes Aldo and wins the decision. What do you think, man?
You know how much I love Aldo, man. I still think he's the GOAT in featherweight. This is a bantamweight, right? I think Martinez is going to win the fight, man, to be honest, you know? I just think that... I just think he will do more, you know? I think... I can say his kicks, but Aldo kicks as well. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I feel like I'm going with Martinez here, man. I think he just will implement his will and get the win. I don't think he finishes Aldo, but I think he gets the decision. And he needs to win a clear decision because he doesn't get a close decision here. So.
No, I agree with that. All right, and then let's go to the last fight here, guys. We'll get to it, the main event. We got Alessandro Pantoja taking on Steve Ursig. Odds for this one have Pantoja, as you'd expect, the champion's favorite, minus 245, Ursig plus 200. Listen, I like Steve Ursig. When the fight was first announced, I was like, man, this guy could win. And I think he has an outside shot. But the thing is, this is a big step up in competition from Max Chanel. You know, it's a huge step up. And Pantoja, he's unbeatable. He's lost. But again, you know, he's improved. And in the last five fights, look at who he's beaten. Brandon Royval, Brandon Moreno, Alex Perez, Brandon Royval, Manel Kopp. That's a killer's row at flyweight. The guy is really well-rounded. He has so much experience. He's fighting in Brazil. He's going to be the better grappler here. He's probably going to be the better striker. I like Ursig a lot. I think it'll be a close, like a competitive fight that probably goes to decision, but I think Pantoja wins three or four rounds and wins the decision, man, in Brazil. So give me Pantoja. I think he gets the win. I think he defends his title. I like Usyk a lot. I just think he could have used one or two more fights in the UFC before he got the shot. What do you think, Ben?
Feel the same way, man. I mean, Usyk, good fighter, you know, but I think it's a little bit too early. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. I think Pantoja is going to win. I think he wins the decision again, you know. Pantoja's just pretty all round. The only thing with Pantoja is he kind of guesses in the fourth and five round normally, and then he still wins those rounds with his grappling. So I'm going with Pantoja here.
So if I'm not mistaken, we had all the same picks on this card, didn't we? We took all the favorite. I think we took all the favorites too, which worries me. Yeah. Obviously, I mean that's always a worry. You know, obviously some underdogs are going to win. Every week we always pick underdogs on this podcast. It's not like we come in here, you know, expecting just to pick favorites. But
if I would pick one, I maybe would go with Brenner. But
that would be your dog. That'd be your.
If
I think there's some live dogs. I think for me, live dogs would be. I think Smith. I think Brenner. I think Gomes. Gomes was the guy I was closest on. I think.
Yeah, Gomes also possible.
I think those are the ones that I think are live here. And there's an outside shot of some of these veterans, like, a Pichelle, if the other guy gasses. But for me, it's like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I think this is a showcase card. Most of these Brazilians are like minus 500 favorites, and most of them should win the fights. So that's my thoughts on the card. I am looking to the card, forward to the card. And again, we're going to get some picks wrong because there's no way this card goes on without. Dude, it's just like, when was the last time all the favorites won? It's happened a few times, but it doesn't happen.
I don't know, dude. I don't keep track.
I mean, I do, and it's like, it's only happened like a couple times, like, you know, the last couple years. So, but I think this could be one of those cards where it's almost all the favorites win. You know, you might have one or two dogs, and watch it be like six or seven dogs when we're like, holy shit, we had a horrible night. But I don't see it happening. Like, again, you know, most of these guys we know about, I think maybe some of these fights, Marcel, that have like the newcomers, maybe because there's just not as much info on them, possibly. Mm-hmm. But even that, I don't know. I appreciate that, man. Who's our lock of the night? I hate using that word, Pato, as you know, but I mean, for me, it'd be probably Bahio and Pereira. I mean, I think they both win. I want to see, what are the odds of you parlay, though? I mean, I know they're both big favorites, but if you parlay Pereira and Bahio, parlay, it is -200. Yeah, you're laying 2-1, but you're getting two guys that should absolutely win the fight, so I don't hate that at all. I mean, you want to add Pantoja in there, you could. You get basically even money, I think. So, you know, don't. I don't love parlays, but, you know, I'm just saying that's an option. This card, you're going to have to basically do parlays, though, Marcel, because they're almost big favorites, unless you go to the Martinez's or the Silvas and then, you know, get those fights will be competitive. But yeah. All right. Last comment here. Thoughts on Usman pulling out. I don't know what happened there. I have no idea. You have any clue
on that?
Yeah, Usyk did lose that fight, but he's improved since then. So, yeah. All right, guys, I think we're going to get out of here. Really appreciate everyone joining us. You know, it's a nice Sunday afternoon. I want to get out of here, Marcel. But thanks again. Anything you want to say, Marcel? Appreciate it, man. As always,
I'm good. We'll see you guys next week with the recap of UFC 301 and a preview of UFC St. Louis with the amazing main event. I mean, I love the card, but the main event, Jesus.
Yeah, I'm glad they added Buckley and
yeah,
who's the boy of the card. All right, guys, I hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.